afternoon. Thanks for coming back and listen so soon. Bring in the stories of everyday folks while you sit back, relax, have a whisk, coach. Here we go with the Trend Speak podcast, bringing you insight or bringing a laugh. Here's the man who might have a plan. Give it up for your host, Trent Podskaland.
Thank you, Isaiah. Good morning, everyone. 7:04, Monday morning. Yes, I got up early to record this podcast for you today, live from the recording studio. Neither of those are true. I am not live. Well, I guess in a technicality, I am live, just not at the time of your listening. And I'm not in a recording studio. I'm just in our spare bedroom where I sit at my desk, and this is where I work, and this is where I podcast. So this isn't really a recording studio. Neither of those statements were true. I've been up since 2:30 this morning, and that is not by choice. That is just something that naturally happened, and I'm not really sure why. So I'm going to take a sip of my coffee that I did, despite having woken up at 2:30 in the morning. The smartest thing that I did last night before bed was know that I was going to try and get up early to record this podcast rather than get it out to you late, as I typically do when I don't do it over the weekend or the previous week. So I did at least get some coffee ready, so I just had to hit go ahead. I didn't program it because I knew my lazy ass was going to stay in bed for a little bit.
Oh, yeah,
that's really good. Okay. However, this is the first time in, 3 years maybe, that I little coffee trickled as I was coming in because of the way I was holding it. So, yeah, there's that. Here's what I want to do. Here's what I want to do today, or in this episode, whatever you want to say. Gosh, it's so early right now. It's really not, though. That's the problem, is I would be awake anyway. I just feel so tired still. There's some stuff I want to share with you. I just cannot share it quite yet, and I'm not sure when or if I'll be able to share it, but a lot going on in terms of decision making and everything lately, and I want to share a couple things about worth from an episode that I talked on. Oh gosh, I should have looked this up. Look at that. 2 weeks in a row that I'm not good at looking things up in advance like I used to be. So let me just pull her up on a good old Selly here. This was episode 101. So yes, 2 episodes ago, I was right. Fight for your value. And I want to follow up on a couple things that I've found since that kind of speak to that. A couple things I've seen on, actually, these are all from LinkedIn, interestingly enough. And then, you know me, I've been saying subscribe, rate, review. This is so funny, and I wanted to share this last week, but Kyle and I had already recorded. So, as I said, you know, subscribe, rate, review, reviews, and ratings help to get the podcast seen by other people. Well, I just so happened one day. I just so happened one day to be on Apple Podcasts. And I was like, all right, let's just see what we have. Well, we're a 5 out of 5 based on 8 ratings. This is as of the 21st, so as of 10 days ago. And keep in mind, at the writing, so remember, I was on a year hiatus. Again, at the time, I did not know it was going to turn out to be a year. But at the writing of this review that I found, the podcast was not actively being recorded and posted, and I found this 5-star review from someone 1 year ago. And it said this. Bro, this dude's rules in, like, literally the letter N. He is really good. 10 out of 10. Well, thank you, whoever you are, who wrote this. I greatly appreciate that. It just made me laugh seeing the way this is written and everything. But I appreciate the review. And again, if you could go leave a review, either like that or not, I would greatly appreciate that. Like I said, I want to cover these things on Worth. I think that these speak a lot to what I was trying to speak to 2 episodes ago, but these are a little bit more eloquent, and they're a little bit more concise and direct, and their words make a little bit more sense than maybe mine had, though I did get some positive feedback from that, so thank you. And then I want to dip into the vault and have a guest who I had on back in June of 2020. This was a recorded but not published episode where I talked with Jackie on fashion and some things that were happening within her family, how that affected her, and some decisions that she had to make. Oh, I'm all sniffly this morning. So the first thing I want to do is, and this is why I would like to have a guest, because it gives me a break. I can sip my coffee without having to take a pause, just as I am now. Ah, yeah, that is, it's a new creamer, and that's really good. I'm not going to say who the creamer is, because they're not sponsoring me, and I don't feel like I should not get paid if I mention them. International Delight. Caramel Macchiato flavor. International Delight. Message me for the check. Alright, so this was on LinkedIn, and this was just the beginning. So this was, let's see. Oh, and I had found maybe a couple before we had talked that I just didn't talk about. Alright, so one thing I did talk about in that episode 101, fighting for your worth, fighting for your value. Here we go. I talked a lot about the Great Resignation. Ariana Huffington had tweeted, this was also reposted by someone on LinkedIn. I don't know. My phone's been really weird lately. This was also reposted by someone on LinkedIn. Again, Ariana Huffington posted this on Twitter. The Great Resignation is really a great reevaluation. What people are resigning from is a culture of burnout and a broken definition of success. In quitting their jobs, people are affirming their longing for a different way of working and living. And again, this goes back to that conversation we had, that we had 2 weeks ago, talking about, you know, and that was one of the points in the article that we had discussed. You know, it's not necessarily that people are resigning to quit. It's that people are resigning because there's better things out there and people aren't willing to settle or be stuck in toxic environments anymore. People are looking for better pay if they can get it, for better benefits if they can get it. Jamie Lewis had reshared a post on, just so happened someone in my network had liked this. So Dana Yaki had shared this on LinkedIn, and I thought this was, very eye-opening as well, and this grabbed my attention. A bottle of water at Costco is 25 cents. The same bottle in a supermarket is worth about 50 cents. The same bottle in a bar costs $2. In a good restaurant or hotel, it can be worth up to $3. At an airport, you may be charged $5. The bottle and the brand are the same. The only thing that changes is the place. Each place gives a different value to the same product. When you feel like you are worth nothing, change places. Do not stay there. Have the courage to change and go somewhere you deserve and are valued. Surround yourself with people who appreciate your worth. Find where you are valued. Hashtag you are worth it. And I have one more that I'd like to share from LinkedIn. Unfortunately, because of the length of this post, I apparently did not screenshot who it's from, so I apologize. I can't give direct credit. However, it was on LinkedIn. If you are hiring, you better be coming with your A game. Candidates are getting multiple offers, above average salary offers, some way, way above, flexible work arrangements, benefits slash perks out of the wazoo, hiring managers, recruiters that show up late. Yes, I saw that post. Offer low ball comp, allow disorganized interviewing processes, and think that piss poor communication is okay, are all going to be left in the dust. A resume candidate we worked with just passed up a job because they offered her 1 week of vacation. 1 week. She's a 30-year industry vet. After she got done laughing, she said she wanted to start with 4 weeks. Sorry. She said she wanted 4 weeks to start. They said it was their, quote, policy, and she could earn more time. She turned them down and took a job that offered her 4 weeks right off the bat. People have choices, and they are choosing not to be treated like shit. It's about time. I think those three posts really speak volumes to the fact that people have said, you know what, enough's enough. I'm not going to settle. And now people are also saying you shouldn't settle. And I'm not saying people ever said that you should settle. But I thought these did a really good job at putting things into perspective and putting them in very easy ways to understand, to say, oh yeah, like that is a very interesting way to look at it. For example, that water bottle example that was presented. I think it's a very good way to look at that. Well, that's all from me for this week. Again, please subscribe, rate, review the podcast anywhere that you listen, whether that's Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else. I also would ask you to please recommend the podcast to friends, family. Go ahead and post that on your social media, anywhere that you would like to share that. Maybe your work Slack channel, Teams, email, carrier pension, however you want to take care of that. Quick update on me. I still have been struggling a little bit. Still been having anxious days, but also trying to accept, you know, no matter how much I worry, no matter how anxious I am, I can't change the past. I can't change the future. But what I can do is live in the present moment. And that's all you can do. Continue to pray. Continue to have faith. And know that in the end, God will take care of everything. Folks, I will chat with you next week. I am very appreciative of whether it is one person, 10 people, or 100 people, whoever is listening to this podcast, thank you. And again, we'll chat soon. Here's that conversation that I had almost 2 years ago now. But here's that conversation I had with Jackie. Talking with Jackie this week for the Trent Speaks podcast. Jackie, welcome in.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, of course. So let's get right to it. I wanted to ask you about your fashion, business sense, everything fashion related. So I know that you were pursuing a commercial photography degree at one time, but fashion has really always been, even during that time, a large part of your life.
That's correct. Yes. I was one of the, back when it wasn't cool to be fashionable, I was one of the ones who was kind of pushing the envelope around town and, you know, kind of in school a little bit before everybody graduated. So I was always kind of into fashion, but it wasn't cool then. So I ended up, when I started heading off to college, though, I started out actually modeling for an agency because I'm very tall and thin. And I started out in a completely different path. I was going to be a child psychologist. But along the way, I had to do some humanities and I discovered photography, which I didn't even know was an option for a career. I just never heard of that before. So I decided that's what I wanted to do and pursued that degree. And so married the two things that I love. Learned to sew when I was young. So I'm a designer. I'm now a photographer. I've modeled. Yeah, I'm kind of well-rounded in the fashion industry.
What is it that really, really sparked your passion for fashion? Look at that rhyme. What is it that really wanted you to get into that and to stick with it?
You know, because I'm so tall and thin, I think you would find this ironically with a lot of models. We stuck out as the weird ones. And so I kind of felt like, well, if I'm going to stand out, you know, I want to give you something to look at. So that's how I kind of got involved in fashion. Kind of, it was a way for me to find my confidence. You know, if you're going to look at me anyway, at least I feel like you're looking at something beautiful, not something weird. So that's kind of how it started for me. And that's kind of how I've always been around the inclusion idea, because, you know, even though I'm the quintessential model, you know, we felt just as awkward as many people do. So.
Yeah. And since you mentioned it about inclusion, I know that that's something that you hold as a very high value throughout your work and your life.
Yes, absolutely. I've always felt that beauty is inside, not outside. But I also do feel that the outside reflects the inside. So my goal is to build confidence in people who are interested in sort of dabbling in this. I don't just build professional careers. I also work with people who just want to kind of give it a shot or had like a bucket list of walking down the runway. And so for me, it's not about the quintessential model. It's about the beauty inside everybody and making it shine.
And so I would think that especially now with so much going on in the world and all the topics and talks about all the stuff with police brutality and really trying to make Black Lives Matter a larger movement than what it already was in terms of trying to get policy change and everything. I'm sure that inclusion is even a larger focus than it has been in the past.
It definitely is. It's certainly come to the forefront for a lot of people who, you know, may not have even thought about it. But it's always been, you know, diversity has always been part of my professional goal. You know, I didn't do the magazine all my life. I have been a commercial photographer all my life, but, you know, I didn't have the platform. You know, I always knew I wanted to do something like this, but I guess I never knew I was going to be the conduit for it. So when we decided we were going to do this, it was just a no-brainer that it was going to be inclusive. And I do not, you know, it doesn't matter. Age, size, color, gender, LGBTQ, it doesn't matter. We have challenged models. We have petite models. We have young models. We have mature models. Plus size, it doesn't matter to me. What matters is the inside again. It does, you know. I applaud what's happening and the movement, but for me, it's not anything new. It's just kind of the way it's always been for me.
How do you find models? Like how do you seek these people out and say, hey, come work for us. Come help us out.
So actually in the, I've been in photography for several decades. you know, throughout my career, I've certainly, accrued a Rolodex of models. And so in the beginning, I basically went to those people and said, hey, are you interested? And when we still were short on the, you know, the first issue, I then put out a call for models on social media. And I take submissions, and then myself and my team kind of review them and see who we're going to feature in each issue. So, but that criterion is not based on, you know, who's pretty or who's, you know, young or whatever. That criterion is based on potential and teachability. So in the beginning, I had to kind of seek them out a little bit, but now we're into almost our fifth year. And I have no shortage of models, thank you, knock on wood. They come to me even when we're not casting and say, hey, can you remember me? You know, and they send me their submissions. Because I'm one, I think, at least I hope, I'd be proud to be one of the few that do promote inclusive models. And so I think I get a lot more submissions than maybe the typical fashion magazine would. But we also don't necessarily work with professional models, technically. You know, we work with independents and newbies, if you will, people who've never done it before. So it's a networking tool to really just build confidence within yourself. And all of our models and designers have connections all over the world now, because I share everything with the models in the with the people we feature in the magazine, the models, stylists, designers. So I really don't have any issue with models to publish. I think the only thing that I have a little bit of difficulty with sometimes is designers, but even that, there are more people getting into that business too. So it's getting easier and easier.
What is it? Obviously, you've worked both with photography and fashion for a number of years. What is it that you've learned about yourself along the way?
That this is going to sound so conceited, but I find it to be confidence. I'm really, really good at fashion photography. I have, which I never knew I would be. I think out of the box. I push the envelope. I push the models out of their comfort zone, and I come up with unique concepts, and they're just incredible. I mean, people just send me compliments all the time about my work. So I guess I never knew I was that much of an artist. So I've learned to be confident in my art, because in the beginning I wasn't so sure that this I was any good at this.
So is it more locally or regionally based, or are you on a national scale when you're going out and do shoots and everything and looking for models?
Well, we definitely focus on Ohio and Midwest models, but and designers, actually talent in general. But we certainly feature all over the world. Our current issue actually features two designers from Madagascar. And we have had for Fashion Week. We also run Ohio Fashion Week. We've had models from all over the country and Canada. We've had designers from South Africa. So while our focus is highlighting and showcasing Midwest talent, we certainly aren't limited to that at all.
Well, I know that you hit kind of a struggle a few years ago. When I was looking at your bio, I was reading about how your child had a serious brain infection. Mm-hmm. So describe the feeling when you had to resign from your job at the time and to take care of your son. Because I can imagine that was scary for a number of reasons, both for your child and financially at the time, before you were able to kind of start that work from home aspect.
Mm-hmm. It was... Of course, it was an unexpected turn in our lives. And at the time, I was working full time, as my husband was. So I did have to resign. You're right about that. Because he was in PICU for a number of weeks, and I wasn't going to leave his side. So I wasn't allowed to have that much vacation time. So I did resign from my official day job, as it were. And I have not technically held a day job since then, because he has been my focus. We are blessed in that my husband is able to manage the household financially. And in the first few years, someone had to be with him all the time. He was he was in a delicate health situation. So I was kind of that, you know, in that role. But once he got stable with health and started to go out of the house into schools, then I started to get a little antsy of, you know, I can't sit around and do nothing. And so it started, we started it's still in fashion, but in a different avenue. We started with a brick and mortar boutique where I was selling my fashion line that I made. And so one thing led to another. And in the end, my son was not successful in brick and mortar schools. So we, together, we decided that he needed to come home school. And that was the scariest part for me, actually. Well, aside from, you know, is my son going to be okay? Mm-hmm. But the decision to bring him to homeschool was very scary for me because I didn't know if I could serve him the way he needed to be served. But I thought, well, if this is something I can do to give him some tools for success, then I will do it. And now, 4 years later, I'm so glad we did it because I really think that this is the only path for him to get to find success in his life because brick and mortar doesn't allow for the flexibility that he needs. So, and then when school day's over, then I switch to CEO mode and I become the editor-in-chief of Hodo Ohio Magazine, the executive producer of Ohio Fashion Week, and the model manager for Discovered Model Scouting and Management. So I have a full day at my kitchen table.
So how did that transition start for you to work from home? Like, when did you realize, okay, I need to go back and do something, but also how did you find those particular jobs for yourself?
Well, it kind of was my husband who said, you know, because we were talking about it and I said, I don't know what to do. I need to work because I've always been a worker bee, but I can't because I can't be out of the house. And, you know, he needed more attention than I could even part-time. So he was like, well, you know, you love photography, you love fashion. Why don't you try something in that genre? So it was kind of his prompting. All along, I'd been doing photography, but I had never done publication work. So it sort of stemmed from that. And I was like, you know what? I can do that from home. So I called my connections and said, hey, what do we think? Is this something we should start? And so I started out with a team in the beginning that has dwindled down, but we've also acquired other members that are just as positive. So the team all works together and, you know, we're the only high fashion magazine in Ohio that's online digital quarterly. So we're really proud of it. But it started really with my husband saying, well, go do what you love. I was like, oh, okay.
I can do that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I never had to go get a job, so to speak. I just set my computer, social media, and contacted my models and said, hey, we're going to shoot. And models are always up for photo shoots. So that was not a problem.
You did work from home before it was cool, basically.
Yes, yes. And in fact, once the pandemic started, I imagine it was the same for you and your state, but, you know, they locked down the schools and brought everybody home. And actually my son and I did a daily live broadcast on how to do homeschool because all these parents were doing it for the first time, had no idea what to do. And so, yeah, it was a good way for us to help out and give back a little bit. So. Yeah, so it didn't really have that much of a change to our life because we're at home all the time.
Right, which is a good thing, though.
Yeah.
So I feel like a lot of people, when they started to work from home, myself included, at least I enjoyed it for a little bit. But then I got to the point of like, okay, I'm getting sick of like sitting on Zoom calls all the time for work meetings and everything. And like, I'm sick of seeing the same environment and stuff. What is it that you've done for yourself, and have you learned any tips and tricks along the way to kind of keep yourself motivated and everything? Like, because I feel like for me and a couple other of my like coworkers and everything I was talking to, we at some point lost motivation to do stuff because our environment wasn't changing.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I think, first of all, I think I'm a little bit more of an overachiever than the average. I've always do things 150%. So self-motivation has never been an issue for me. But there are times where I kind of feel like, oh my God, if I look at these walls any longer. But I think the difference is that I am blessed to be doing what I love. Like, this is a passion for me. So going out and doing photo shoots with models is like, first of all, it's one of the few times I get out of the house. And it's also, that is my dream. Like, when I was in college, my dream was to work for a fashion magazine. I didn't know I was going to own that magazine, but, you know, so I think that's what the difference is a lot of people kind of feel a little bit of a drudgery in their work. But I don't. I mean, you know, sometimes it gets overwhelming as far as tasks, because a lot of it rests on my shoulders. I do have a team, but I would still say that 90% of it is me. So sometimes I feel like, oh, I just can't move forward anymore. But I just step back and take a breath and say, okay, tomorrow we're going to start again, one step at a time, you know. So it's not an issue for me. So I don't have any tips, really.
What's been the most impactful moment or event in your life that's shaped who you are today, or at least where you're at in your life?
Well, I think definitely at this point it would be when Trent, my son's name is Trent.
Good name. I like that name.
It is a good name, isn't it? when Trent got sick, because it literally changed the path of our whole family's lives. You know, I mean, it just did. I never planned on working from home and running a magazine. You know, I had a really good, secure job as a graphic designer at a corporate location. So, I mean, I had all the perks of corporate, but I still got to do art. So it was a good job. I liked my job. I mean, everything changed the day that we went for that well visit and the doctor said we need to do a CT scan. That was definitely a pivotal moment. I mean, everything. I haven't worked since then. My husband's handled the house since then. My son has gone from a grim diagnosis to being a typical 12-year-old. We've launched the magazine, Fashion Week. I mean, definitely that is the moment that changed my life. And so luckily, God was with us and said, it's going to be a good change. So that's it. I had no idea this is where I would be at this time.
What is it that you want people to take away from you in this podcast? So whether it's something that we've talked about in the last 20 minutes or so, or maybe it's something we hadn't had a chance to talk about, but what do you want people to take away when they listen to this podcast?
Well, I think twofold. Understanding that fashion is only the wrapping, the packaging for what's inside. So, but it is key to what's inside. So you have to build your inner beauty before the outer beauty comes. And I think finding your own confidence, however you need to do that, is paramount. Before you can find happiness, before you can find love, before you can find any great in your life, you have to love yourself first. So that would be my biggest advice, is to, you know, find a way to build your self-confidence and know that you're special.
Well, Jackie, I'm glad that we made it through the interview without the university Wi-Fi pooping out on me. thank you so much for coming on today. How can people check out your work and support you if they choose to?
Oh, thank you. Yes. Our website is www.hauteohio, that's H-A-U-T-E, ohio.com. And you can find us on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter under OHFW_official.
Awesome, Jackie. Thank you so much. I'm going to turn it over to you so that you can do the sign off for your own podcast. There's no set script or anything. It's whatever you want it to be.
Okay. Okay, so I hope you have a wonderful day, and keep in mind that everything you do is important to your future, and we will see you soon. That's good.